like to give you an overview of how this trip even got started. So Cherie had this wonderful plan. She wanted to go for a long time before I wanted to go. She actually convinced me to go. So she stumbled upon a Facebook post, but I'm going to let her tell you her story, okay? So she wanted someone to go with her, and I was that person because, I mean, we're sisters and, you know, you do things together and it's fun. So she nagged me for a long time about coming, and I was like, no, I don't want to. That's crazy. I'm more of the person who likes to think about things for a long, long time before I actually do them. My brother will actually tell you, he would tell people all the time, like whenever there was a decision to be made or anything, he would say, she has to sleep on it first. She can't give you an answer right now. So I'm one that would like to think, ponder over it, and like, you know, just think through all the details before actually doing it. And I'm not very good about getting the details done. Cherie, on the other hand, she's amazing at it. And so she kept on asking me to go and go and go. And I finally said yes. Okay, fine, I'll go. You know, this will be neat. This will be incredible. Scary, but, you know, here we go. So I went to go get my passport. She had all the paperwork ready for me. I just had to fill it out and sign my check and send it in the mail and everything. And she already had all her stuff done and taken care of, ready to go. So we were off, and it was exciting. Our cousin, as you will see in some of the pictures, our cousin was able to join us, Christine, too. She's from Tennessee, and it was just a wonderful time of bonding together. We didn't do the whole sleepover things as we were growing up, and I appreciate that from my parents because a lot of trouble goes on with those usually, but this was sleeping over for us, so it was wonderful. Every night we got up at like 6 in the morning. We had to be on the bus by at least 7, and we'd visit at least 6 different places in a day, so it was pretty tiring, and then we would get back at the hotel around 5:30 every night. So we did a lot, but I'm very thankful that we were able to see as much as we did. It's hard to just tell you everything that I've learned, because you learn so much, especially for a person like me, because I have lived 22 years in the same house and haven't really traveled that much my whole life. So flying for over 12 hours at over 600 miles an hour is quite a lot to take in. So it was just incredible. Just like we flew out of a New York area, and just seeing the huge tall buildings, the business buildings, and then getting to Israel and seeing the little tiny huts just kind of over in a corner with an Israeli man, you know, calling out his price for his pomegranate juice that he was making right there, it was quite incredible. Another thing that was something that changed my perspective of the world and how big it is, and it's amazing. The second thing that changed for me was my view of the Bible. It just came to life. It's like they say, I never really understood that when they say that the Bible comes to life, but when you're there and you see the places and the names and the people, it's amazing. So the Bible really came to life for me, and being in the same places and experiencing some of the same things was quite incredible. The trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was really amazing. For me, just to see like the layout of the land, how close all the villages and towns are to each other, you can really understand how Jesus would walk from village to village as he preached and taught the people. And the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was really intriguing to me, because for us it was only like, I think it was less than 45 minutes bus ride. But for Mary and Joseph, I can't imagine what that would have been like, because the land, it was flat and rocky, desert-like, and all of it was pretty much desert-like. But then there was little like hills and valleys, and then coming up to Jerusalem, there's big mountains that you would have to cross. And so that trip for Mary and Joseph just really came alive to me. So that was really neat. And one of my favorite times was coming over the mountain hills and seeing the city of Jerusalem. It was just incredible. We had music going on in the bus about it. And just knowing everything that God had promised about Jerusalem and what he's promised to those people. And thinking about one day that there will be a new Jerusalem and that we will be able to be a part of that was just incredible. It was amazing. But then there was the excitement and thrilling of it, but also the disheartening all at the same time, because you could just see the effects of what our sin has caused, you know, and how the city is worn down and dirty and, you know, just all the things that mankind, what we have done to ruin the perfect plan of God. So the third thing that changed was my perspective of Jesus. When I thought of Jesus, I would always think him more as God. I couldn't really put my finger on more of his humanity. And so being there and being in the places where he would actually say, you know, peace be still to the water and everything like that was incredible. And I think I saw him more of a man on this trip, which was really, really neat. But also as God. So don't get me wrong, he's definitely both. One of my favorite times was also on the Sea of Galilee. It was rainy that day and foggy, and you could just picture Jesus walking on the water and them thinking it was a ghost, you know? So it was amazing. And we have video footage of that, so you'll be able to see it in a minute. But that was just one of my favorite times. We had like a worship service on the boat, and our boat captain, he actually sang for us in Hebrew, which was amazing and wonderful to experience, because he gave us both the English first and then the Hebrew in some of the worship songs that we already knew. So it was incredible. The fourth thing that changed was my life. When you experience something like this that is so beyond yourself and so filled with God and his presence, it changes you. So two big things really changed in my life. I realized the time is short and that it's not good to be halfway in. Sorry, I'm crying so much. Time is short, and I saw a ton of religions over there. Everybody was very religious, practicing a religion. And they're all so close together that it's amazing. But it really made me question what I am doing and how I am living my life. I say I believe in the truth. And these people are so driven, and they're living their lives with the religion at the top. And if I know the truth, why am I not stepping out more in faith and living that way, not being religious, but living wholeheartedly for my God? So that's something that really changed for me. And then another thing was just being all the way in. Sorry, one second. Sorry. So being all the way in, I realized that if I was going to say that I believe the truth, that I also needed to live like I believe the truth. I kind of felt like I've been floating along throughout my life, you know, I'm participating in certain things and doing certain things, but I'm not giving my all, you know, my whole heart is not in it. So I realized that I need to be following Christ better by this trip, and I'm thankful for that. Another thing was, as many of you guys know, I was dating a friend of mine from a long childhood friend, and it was wonderful. He's great. He's an amazing, godly guy. But I felt like I was trying to kind of take the rule of God in some ways, and make it happen, and I wasn't relying on God like I should have. So, thankfully, we talked about it and discussed it, and we're really good friends still, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful that God is gentle, and he teaches us gently, and he's just such a good God and good Father, and he guides and directs in soft and gentle ways with me, which I need. So that was another good thing that came from this trip. I also, from knowing that God wanted me to step out in faith more, I've started a Bible study here on Tuesday nights for girls if they'd like to come. And I have wanted to do this Bible study for over 3 years. I've been thinking about it, praying about it off and on, but after coming back from this trip, I realized now is the time. What am I waiting for, you know? I've always felt unprepared, unqualified to lead anything, and not very good at words. So I just realized, you know, God uses my weakness. He uses the brokenness of me to, his power shines through then. And so I'm trusting God with that, and I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm studying hard, and so we'll see. I hope to love up on those girls. He's not only called me to this mission, but he's called you guys too. He's called you to live your life for him, and to be on mission every day to serve him, and to serve him wholeheartedly, and to show everyone and point everyone to his amazing saving love. So we have a lot of pictures for you, as I said, and pictures speak way more than we ever could, so I hope you enjoy it. And Shri has some stuff to say too. Oh, also, sorry. I also want you guys to realize you do not have to go on a big, amazing trip like this for God to work in your life and to change you. So I just encourage you today to spend some time alone with him, get alone with him, see where it is that you need to be trusting God more in your life and taking that step of faith, and how you can be a better example to the world around you of his amazing love. So here we go.
Thank you. Well, as Chelsea said, it was my idea to go to Israel, but it didn't just come out of my own wanting to travel. About a year ago, I was sitting in a church service in Atlanta, Georgia, and while the pastor was speaking on his subject, I felt God speak to me and say, "You need to go to Israel." And it kind of shook me because I was like, what, okay. And I remember I just prayed and I said, "Okay, Lord, but you make it happen. And don't let me force the timing and everything of it." Because I'm a very take charge and like, all right, I'm going to do it. So a few months went by and I wasn't really thinking about Israel anymore. When I saw a Facebook post from an old friend of mine who actually used to be my babysitter years ago. And she had posted a video saying she and her husband had partnered with a pastor and a travel agency to travel to Israel. And they were inviting anyone who'd like to go. And so in that moment, my mind immediately flashed back to me remembering God telling me, "You need to go," and me asking him, "Make it so plain on when I need to go and the timing so I know it's you." And I knew without a doubt this was the trip I would be going on and convince Chelsea to go on. God worked out every little detail from talking to my parents about it and them feeling at peace and giving their blessing to the smallest thing like finding a lightweight suitcase. I mean, every little thing he worked out. And so the next 6 months of preparation flew by, and before I knew it, we were on the plane flying out. Over the 6 months of thinking, I wrote down the reasons I knew God wanted me to go on this trip, and there's four of them. And the first one is, or was, for my own personal spiritual growth. The second was to be able to get a new perspective, a fresh perspective and passion for reading my Bible. Thirdly was to go and investigate my faith and to know why I believe what I do. Why do I say I believe, you know, in God and Jesus? And then the fourth one was to test my faith. I loved every single moment in Israel. There is not a single second I could tell you where I'd go, oh, I really wish it was tweaked a little bit like this or that. No, I loved everything. But I can't tell you everything because I'd be here for days. So I picked some of my favorites that I'd love to share with you. The first one that has really changed me was the whole group was given the opportunity to be baptized in the Jordan River. And before we left the States, we had been told that if we would like to, that was open to us. And so I was praying about it. I was baptized at a very young age. And I never felt like I needed to be rebaptized. I knew that, you know, I was old enough to know my commitment to the Lord, and that baptism was real. It wasn't like I didn't know what I was doing. But as I prayed about it, I got a peace from God, and I knew that now that I'm older, I understand way more than I did when I was a young child. And I wanted to re-symbolize my life belonging to Christ. And so that morning of the baptisms, it was a beautiful, chilly morning out on the water. Kind of almost was like, whoa, it's a little too cold, but you know. As I waded out into the water, going to re-publicly announce that God is my King and my Savior, I couldn't feel the cold of the water and the joy right now.
It was really, really neat and special for me to watch her do this. And it was funny because the pastor that led our group, Pastor John Reynolds, he asked everyone the same question, you know, do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? And everyone was just like, uh-huh, yes, I do, you know. And when Cherie got in there, she was like, I do!
Well, that was, yeah. After I got in the water, and when he asked me that, like I was saying, there was such a joy that was starting to build within me. I everything faded out. There was the people watching. I didn't even notice them. And the cold, I was no longer freezing. And when he asked me that, I just wanted to shout, I do, because it was, I can't put it into words. But so I had that joy building inside of me. And after he had put me in and I had emerged from the water, that joy took over me. And there are a few pictures of that. And you will just see, like, my face is shining. And I can't tell you, it's amazing today. It's an amazing feeling, and words fall so short. There's nothing I can say to describe it. So that was a life-changing moment for me. My second favorite was going into the marketplaces and being in the everyday culture of the locals. It was amazing. Just watching them buy their food and their clothing and watching them barter out the prices, you know, and they'd be like, no, I got a good deal. Let me give you this for $3. And their accents, and it was amazing, and everything was beautiful. Their jewelry, their clothing, their pottery, their paintings, and the olive wood carvings, it was beautiful. And I love seeing how simple their lives were, and they were happy. They were so happy. Mostly. I mean, there were some sad parts, but for the most part, keep focused on the positive, they were happy. The third and the last one I'm going to share with you was being able to go and spend time at the Dead Sea. It is the weirdest feeling, convincing your mind to drop in the water and to know that you will float and not sink. It is hard to convince. It took me 5 minutes to finally, okay, because it's against everything you know. If you drop, you sink. And it's amazing once you just you convince yourself to have that trust and to float. And then while you float around, you find the mud clumps, and you just start rubbing yourself with it, and it's amazing. And it was the feeling and the glow that it left behind on your skin. It was amazing. And then the salt content was a whole nother thing. Speaking from experience, do not taste it, and do not let it get in your eyes. It will burn, and you want to die. That's just, But it was such a high content of salt that we had to take off every piece of jewelry, no matter if it was real or not. It would destroy it. I mean, if we wore our rings, it was going to destroy it. And that's what they told us, like, take them off. And so that was the salt content really amazed me. And wait a minute. And we didn't realize, but that salt dries you out. I mean, you feel amazing from the mud mask and everything, but the next day your skin is dry. And we didn't bring any lotion. So it was very, for you guys, if you ever go, bring lotion if you're going to float in the Dead Sea, because you will completely dry out and you're dry. That's just, what do you want to say?
The name, the Dead Sea, there's really nothing that lives in the sea. So I was wondering why we should be in it, because it might die.
Well, could have killed us. We dried out. But anyways, if I could encourage you, I'm going to let you watch the pictures, because that's just more, I personally love seeing pictures and videos more so than hearing people talk. So, but if I could encourage any of you to do anything, it would be to go to Israel. Go and experience the Holy Land for yourselves. Hearing us talk, seeing our photos, is only the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it's just amazing. When we look at the photos, we were watching it the other day, we're like, it just doesn't do it justice of what we saw and what we experienced. And this trip will change your life. It'll change the way you read the Bible, and it will change the way you see God. And so I know personally for me, I was not ready to leave Israel. I could have stayed so much longer, but we had to go. And I've been back for 2 months, and I already can't wait to go back. So if you ever get the opportunity, go. Just pack up and go. Don't think about it. Just go.
I thought it was really interesting with our personalities. We both wrote our things separately, and I had wrote, you don't have to go on this trip to have God change you and be changed. And then she wrote, go on this trip. So I was like, oh boy, here we go. All right. I hope you guys enjoy the video.
We'll narrate a little bit throughout so you can, like, know what's going on.